Hi there. In today's podcast, you'll practice your English listening skills, gain understanding of an alarming issue affecting our oceans and seas, and discover surprising facts and statistics about the North Pacific garbage patch. So keep listening and broaden your knowledge, sharpen your language skills, and engage with the pressing ecological issues of our times. And you'll get some good practice in this podcast, understanding facts and statistics, ready for those English language tests and examinations. If you're curious about how the world is trying to address the problem of plastics in our oceans, then stick around to the end of the podcast. We'll look at the international discussions that are taking place and at the dynamics between the different countries and their industries, which may be getting in the way of solving this problem. This is a great chance to learn some new vocabulary and to understand a real world issue that affects us all. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. One of the things I've read about in recent weeks is the North Pacific garbage patch. Have you heard of that? Some vocabulary here. The North Pacific, that's P-A-C-I-F-I-C. Well, of course, the North Pacific is an area of the Pacific Ocean. And a garbage patch? So that's garbage, G-A-R-B-A-G-E, and it means rubbish. What we call in UK English rubbish, they call in US English garbage. Stuff you throw away. And a patch, P-A-T-C-H, that just means an area. You might talk about your vegetable patch in your garden. So the word patch has quite nice associations, but not in this case. So the North Pacific garbage patch is a large area of the ocean where all the plastics and microplastics collect. Microplastics, M-I-C-R-O-P-L-A-S-T-I-C-S. That just means all the little tiny pieces of plastic which exist in our seas. When plastic bottles or other plastic rubbish, garbage if you like, find their way into the ocean, into the sea, they are gradually broken down into smaller pieces by the action of the waves and sunlight. Microplastics are even more of a problem than plastic rubbish, as they cannot be collected easily. The pieces are too small. And they can be ingested. That's I-N-G-E-S-T-E-D. That means eaten by sea creatures, by marine animals. They harm those animals and they harm the ecology of the sea. And those microplastics also find their way into our food chain, harming us as well. And this North Pacific garbage patch, it's been discovered recently. Because there are certain currents in the ocean, it means there are certain areas of the ocean where the plastics collect. A current, C-U-R-R-E-N-T, that means a flow, a substance running in a particular direction. There are currents in our seas and oceans, but you can also use this word of electricity. You would talk about electric current. So you can imagine this. Water moves in a certain way, so things floating in that water tend to collect in a particular place, hence the North Pacific garbage patch. How big is this North Pacific garbage patch full of plastic? The answer, according to the BBC News website, the North Pacific garbage patch is thought to hold the most floating plastic, 79,000 tons of it, in an area covering 1.6 million square kilometres. And actually, this North Pacific garbage patch, it consists of two areas. There's a western garbage patch near the coast of Japan and an eastern garbage patch, which is located between Hawaii and California, the western coast of the United States. A new English word for me here, agyre, G-Y-R-E. Agyre means an area of swirling currents. And usually there's a calm area in the middle. And it's in this calm area that the garbage, all the plastics, get trapped. I suppose in one sense it's good that these plastics, this garbage, is collecting in one place, but the possibility of cleaning it up. No one has thought of a solution to this problem. It's too difficult currently. There isn't a way of collecting this plastic and removing it from the ocean. If you used nets, that's N-E-T-S, then the net would have to be so fine to catch the microplastics that tiny sea creatures would get caught up in it. You have to bear in mind also the size of this North Pacific garbage patch. 1.6 million square kilometres. It's not really feasible to take boats in there and to gradually haul the plastic out. And actually, much of this plastic is believed to rest on the ocean floor, at the bottom of the sea. It's thought that 70% of the plastics sink to the bottom of the sea, so it's not easy to collect. Another issue, this area where the plastics collect in the sea is too far from any particular coast for any one country to take responsibility for it, to take responsibility for trying to clean it up. Did you know that an estimated £33 billion of plastic enters our oceans every year? That's the same as dumping two garbage trucks or two rubbish trucks full of plastic into the sea every single minute. That's a lot. Just think about it. Every minute that passes, our oceans are becoming more polluted with plastic. And according to National Geographic, 80% of plastic in the sea is believed to come from land-based sources, with the remaining 20% coming from boats and other marine sources. So basically, it's what we throw in there from the land that makes up 80% of the problem. As we haven't currently thought of a way of solving this problem of removing the plastic from the oceans, the governments of various countries are instead discussing reducing the amount of plastic we produce and reducing what finds its way into the sea. In February 2022, nations agreed in principle, that means on the idea of, the need for a legally binding UN treaty by 2024, a treaty to end plastic pollution around the world. But as 2024 approaches, is this deadline actually going to be met? Are they going to find a way of agreeing on a treaty? That's T-R-E-A-T-Y, or agreement. Our industries, particularly food production, is completely geared around plastic and plastic packaging. So is the car industry. There is a group of around 50 countries who have agreed to work together on achieving a reduction in plastic production. But there are also a powerful group of countries whose economies depend on the petrochemical industries. They're reluctant to reduce production and are talking instead about recycling being the solution. These countries include China, the US, Saudi Arabia, and other OPEC countries, countries concerned with oil production, of course. So as with many things, it's the economic forces. It's the need of business and ultimately of government to continue making money. And this gets in the way, perhaps, of achieving something positive. To me, recycling doesn't really seem to be the answer here. According to Apple News, and I quote, annual plastics production has more than doubled in the last 20 years to 460 million tons and is on track to triple within the next four decades. That means the next 40 years. Two-thirds of this output is discarded, having been used once or a few times, and winds up as waste, as rubbish, in other words. Less than 10% of plastics are recycled. That's terrible. Less than 10% of plastics are recycled. We'd have to make a lot of change to make recycling the solution here. This feels like another of those issues which ordinary people care about a lot if they're informed about it. It also feels like it can only be up to governments or big industries to make a difference here. And no one organisation or country can take whole responsibility for this. It's just too large. It's got to be a collective responsibility. There are no easy solutions, but it has to be arrived at. by agreement, not one country, not one government, but many working together. Industry isn't going to do it. Their primary purpose is to make profit. But of course, they can be influenced into doing it. When I look at this sort of problem, I conclude that our lives really have to change a lot in the next few years if we're going to make a difference. It's hard to imagine our lives without plastics. Impossible, perhaps. But maybe it would look a bit more like the 1950s when our food came in brown paper bags and our drinks came in glass bottles rather than plastic. Glass is much easier to recycle. I do hope that we're going to put an end to this problem and respect our planet more than we do at the moment. We can't just keep on doing this as though it's not a problem. Plastic can take hundreds of years to decompose, to break down, in other words. Can we make a difference individually to our planet drowning in plastic? Well, if you feel strongly about this, I do believe we can. How can each of us make a difference to this seemingly overwhelming problem? I guess we choose a reusable bottle over a plastic bottle. I guess we choose a reusable coffee cup rather than using one containing plastic. I guess we use reusable bags for our shopping instead of plastic bags. And perhaps we say no to products with too much plastic packaging. In this way, we are voting with our wallets. That means we're telling industries that it's not okay to carry on producing this plastic, especially those that are single use or those that can't be recycled. If we start demanding change, not just from our governments, but from the industries, the businesses that produce our products, supply our goods, maybe that's the way to get the message across. Imagine if millions of us started to make these changes. Imagine the impact that that might have. It's a bold idea, but one worth considering. After all, our oceans, the health of our marine life, and ultimately our own human health are at stake here. Let us know what you think. Let us know your opinion on this. We'd love to hear from you. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.